Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Travelers Rest United Methodist Church. My name is Christine Matthews, one of your pastors here, and I'm so glad that you've decided to worship with us today. There is a chill in the air outside, but hopefully our hearts will be warmed, or strangely warmed, as Wesley would say, this morning as we worship. Let us begin with an opening song. Let us stand as we are able for our song of praise.
Who brings the power of sin and darkness? His love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with mighty thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes an orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross.
Standing for our opening reading this morning from Amos chapter 5, a challenging word for us today. Doom to you who turn justice into poison and throw righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who judges at the city gate, and they reject the one who speaks the truth. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice at the city gate. I reject your festivals. I don't enjoy your joyous assemblies. If you bring me your entirely burned offerings and gifts of food, I won't be pleased. I won't even look at your offerings of well-fed animals. Take away the noise of your songs. I won't listen to the melodies of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And now we sing joyous songs.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes.
as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
My sisters and brothers, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, who is holy, 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 and who we are all here to see. I invite you now, please take a moment of hospitality. Greet those around you the way that they wish to be greeted.
You know that storm Thursday? I was sitting here eating dinner.
Thank you, friends. Please be seated. And good morning, friends. My name is Jonathan Tompkins, the other of your pastors here, and we're so grateful that you have joined with us today. Those of you who are here in person today at 8:45, those of you online with us right now on Facebook and on YouTube and later on our podcast, along with those who might be in the parking lot right now, worshiping on their radios, along with those who will be here at 11 o'clock, all of you today are part of the TRUMC family, and we're so grateful that you have joined with us. Those of you here in the pews, if you would please begin passing the attendance pads. You'll find them on the middle aisle side of your pew. If you mark down that you're here, and if you're joining us today for the first time, and if you give us a way to contact you, we'll just contact you later this week with more information about us. And then folks who are worshiping online with us, we want to know that you are there as well. Please fill out our Digital Connect card. You'll see a QR code there on your screen. You can also go to our website, trmethodist.net, find our Digital Connect card. Just let us know that you are there as well. If you look at the second to last page in your bulletin at our list of upcoming events and announcements, just want to point some things out to you. You'll see there is another QR code there up in the right-hand corner. This takes you to our church email list sign-up. We send out a church-wide email every Wednesday, and this just helps keep you connected during the week. That'll help you sign up for it. Please continue to sign up to help lead worship. All of you are eligible to help lead worship on Sunday mornings in some way, and you can see the list of things there. And that website takes you to our church website for our online sign-ups. A reminder that today, after the 11 o'clock service, our Feasting with Friends organizational meeting is happening. That's at 12:15 in the parlor. Feasting with Friends is just a great way for you to have dinner with folks who you might not know but are part of our church. They have dinner about four times.
Yeah, once a month.
Once a month for the next few months, and that meeting is 12:15 today to kind of put groups together and assign groups. Brian, you're kind of in charge of that, is that right? Brian and Paula Catron are heading that up. If you have any questions after the service, you could speak with both of them about that. There are things happening this week for all of our age groups, and so want to invite you all to be part of these things. Our Forever 55 group is heading to Flat Rock Cinema, and you need to RSVP for that by today. There's a sign-up sheet as you're exiting the sanctuary. Our Trumpets Children's Choir are rehearsing each Sunday, and they rehearse today at 5 p.m. in our chapel building. Our teenagers, our United Methodist Youth Fellowship, are getting together tonight at 5 p.m. for their annual Reading Buddies. We have kindergartners through third graders from the Brookside Point Apartments come, and it's a really fun night, so all of our teenagers are invited to that. And then our growth groups are ramping back up for the winter session, and Pastor Christine would love to tell you more about becoming part of one of our weekly small groups. I want to thank all of you last week who helped undeck our halls. As you can see, our wonderful Christmas decorations have been taken down for another year. I heard that it happened in record time. So thank you to all of those who made that possible last week. Thank you also, check this out. TRUMC, you have once again come through. Our Christmas Eve offering, which we give away every year, because of your generosity, we are giving $12,086 away to help other people, both globally and locally. That is pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing. Thank you so much for giving so that we can help people locally through the Dream Center of Easley and globally through World Central Kitchen. I want to give a bit of a good news. It's still a prayer concern, but it's a joyful prayer concern at the same time. You may have noticed that for quite a while, we've had a name on our prayer list, Richard Goodall. I know many of you know Richard. Richard, a few months ago, was diagnosed with cancer, and hospice was brought in. There didn't seem to be anything that could be done. He had stopped eating and had kind of lost a lot of strength and didn't think that he could endure any more treatment. But since just before Christmas, Richard started eating again and he gained some strength back. And he talked to his doctor, and it turns out that there is the potential for some treatment, that he can resume treatment. And so I saw Richard this past week, and he wanted to let us all know, as in his words, he has graduated from hospice. Hospice is no longer with them, and he is going to be going back to the doctor pretty soon to find out what some treatments are. Of course, he's still living with cancer. He's still having to undergo some things, but he just wanted to let you all know that he really appreciates your continued prayers, he and Rosemary, and we will continue to lift them up in our thoughts and prayers as they continue to, as he continues to be strengthened by the support of his loving church family. So some good news for us today. Also some good news. Louisa is here to read our scripture of the day for us. So as she comes to read, you're going to see that it's on our screen. It is also on the back of your bulletin on your trail guide so that we all can follow along.
John 14, verses 11 through 12. Trust me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the account of the works themselves. I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. Galatians 3, verses 26 through 28. You are all God's children through faith in Jesus Christ Jesus. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, and there is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And the Word was life.
And the life was the light for all people.
Child of God, be at peace. Open hands, let go of everything. Christ in us, all around. Calvary, I hear with level ground. I hear a voice calling now. Tear down the walls between us. Make way for love to heal us. Show us the way of Jesus, where he is found in common ground. Ooh.
Church of God, now's the time. There's a mountain that we have to climb. Broken hearts all around, suffering. Father's blood is crying out.
Tear down the walls between us. Make way for love to heal us. Show us the way of Jesus. Where he is found. If not together, nowhere.
Reach out your hand in there and out there, 'cause there are no strangers.
No strangers. To God. There are no outcasts.
There are no orphans to the Father.
Psalm 100 band. This is one of those times when I think I've got to preach now after that. That was pretty much my sermon in a nutshell. So I could just say amen, let's go home and go. And thank you. Thank you. That was amazing. I do want to point you once again to the back of your bulletin to your trail guide. You'll see in addition to today's scripture, there's some blank space there for you to take notes. It's always our hope that God will be speaking something meant just for you today that you're going to want to write down and take with you this week. And then there are some next steps for the journey and a prayer for this week's walk. If you're in a growth group, you'll be dealing with these this week, and or you can just use this in your devotional time this week as well. This is all designed to take what we do in here today out into your week and out into the world. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Curious what comes to your mind when you hear the word justice. We heard it quite a bit in our opening reading that Pastor Christine brought us from the prophet Amos. We hear the word justice. I think for most of us today in our society, we probably tend to think about criminal justice. We hear that word justice, criminal justice. People being brought to justice, people being punished for their crimes, facing the consequences for their actions, people being brought to justice, criminal justice. And also, there tends to be sometimes some political undertones to that word. We hear people being called social justice warriors, things like that. But I think overall, we think that justice is it's a state thing. And so we tend to keep it separate from church, right? We separate church from state in a lot of things. And I think justice tends to be one of those. However, the word justice, it's all over the Bible. The Hebrew word for justice that we find in our Old Testament is mishpat. Mishpat. Can you say that word with me? Mishpat. And when you read the Hebrew scriptures, or what we call the Old Testament, you'll find that word mishpat about 400 times in just the Old Testament alone. Now, that's not to mention the New Testament, where it was used in Greek. We get that word as well. And so mishpat, yes, it means, well, it means judgment. And yes, there are, it is in the criminal justice sense like we use it today, but it goes a lot deeper than that in Hebrew and in the Bible. Mishpat, it means knowing what's true and what's real. It means knowing what is right and wrong. So that's kind of the way that we use it, knowing what's right and wrong, but then doing what's right, doing what's fair, doing what's equitable. Mishpat. Rabbi Art Nemetoff is a good friend of the Reverend Adam Hamilton. We know the Reverend Adam Hamilton. We've done a lot of his studies. He's a United Methodist pastor in the Kansas City area. Rabbi Art Nemetoff was featured in one of Hamilton's recent sermons. And Adam asked his friend, "What, as a Jewish rabbi, when you hear the word mishpat, what does that mean to you?" And Rabbi Nemetoff said this: "For me, it means doing what I can to make the world a better place to live. Reaching out to those who are the other, to lend a hand to them and lift them up as high as I can so that they can be on an even field with us. That they can live a life full of dignity, hope, and their own sense of justice, and live a life that's committed to God." Mishpat. And we see this all throughout Scripture. Especially, we see the word mishpat occur most of the time in the prophets. If you were with us last year, like a year ago this Sunday, we started a new sermon series last year on the prophets, and we did a whole sermon series about the prophets. It's all still up on our YouTube pages, and you can go back and check those out. But if you recall, we talked about the prophets were concerned with two big things, the two I's, if you remember the two I's that the prophets were concerned with. The first was idolatry, bowing down to anything that isn't God. And the second was injustice. See, the prophets looked around at their society, and they saw that the other was not being treated fairly or equitably. They looked around and they saw the powerful exploiting the powerless, the wealthy not caring for the poor. They looked around and they saw the people of God failing to do what God required of them. Injustice. And so, for example, the prophet Micah, he asked the question, "What does the Lord require of you?" Now, that might sound familiar to some of us. We sing that a lot, too. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of us, according to Micah? Three things: do justice, love, mercy, or kindness, and walk humbly with your God. If we're going to walk humbly with our God, we're going to be merciful and kind, and we're going to do justice, according to the prophet Micah. And then we heard today from the prophet Amos, such a bright, cheery song to open up our worship service today. He says, "Doom to you who turn justice into poison. They hate the one who judges, the one who speaks the truth. Instead, hate evil, love good, establish justice." He goes on, "Look, forget worship that doesn't lead to changed hearts, changed lives, and changed societies. Instead, what does the Lord say? Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Evocative imagery there. That's the prophet Amos. The prophet Isaiah. Now, we heard from Isaiah quite a bit in the past couple of months. Isaiah has a lot to say during Advent and during Christmas and during Epiphany. But he also has a lot to say about justice and injustice. In Isaiah 58, he says, "Here is the proper fast." You know, we think about, we're kind of approaching Lent in a couple of months, and a lot of us fast from things during Lent. And the prophet Isaiah says, you need to fast from injustice. He says, you do that, and then your light will shine in the darkness. A arise and shine, if you were with us a couple of weeks ago on Epiphany. And of course, we use Isaiah a lot, or we read Isaiah a lot in Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, because we can't help but look at Isaiah and we see Jesus in these words. So for example, Isaiah has several sections that we call the servant songs, and he talks about God's servant. And we look at that and we can't help but see Jesus. So listen to this one. This is Isaiah 42, one of the servant songs. But here is my servant, the one I uphold, my chosen, who brings me delight. I have put my spirit upon him. Now that sounds like last week, the Lord's baptism Sunday. My spirit is upon him. In him I have delight. So already we're thinking, wow, that sounds like Jesus. Isaiah goes on. He will bring justice to the nations. He won't break a bruised reed. He won't extinguish a faint wick, but he will surely bring justice. He won't be extinguished or broken until he has established justice in the land. So three times in four sentences, the servant will bring justice. And then we go to Isaiah 61, also talking about the Lord God's Spirit. The servant says, the Lord God's Spirit is upon me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for the captives and liberation for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, interestingly enough, that from Isaiah 61 is who Jesus quotes in his very first sermon in Luke's gospel. He goes back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he stands up and he reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and that's what he picks. And then he says, surely this has been fulfilled today in your hearing. In essence, Jesus is telling his folks and telling us, I'm here to show what's true and real, what's wrong and what's right. And then I'm here to do what's right. I'm here to reach out to the other. I'm here to lift them up on an even field so that we can live a life of dignity together. So that's from Isaiah 61, and that's what Jesus reads from. Interestingly enough, if you read just a few verses later, Isaiah 61:8, God says, I, the Lord, love justice. So we get hints of this in the life, or leading up to the life of Jesus as well. So for example, during Advent and during Christmas, we tend to look at Jesus' mother Mary a lot. And if you go to Luke chapter 1, when Mary finds out that she is going to be having Jesus, she's going to be having the Messiah, she breaks out into song. And we've come to call this the Magnificat. That's Latin for my soul magnifies. And that's how Mary starts off her song. My soul magnifies the Lord. So Mary's Magnificat, part of it says, she sings this. God has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. So in Mary's song, we see this notion of common ground, of an even playing field established by God. And then in the Christmas story, we just saw it, right? We saw the night shift shepherds are the first to come to the manger. The lowliest of the low in society are the ones who are invited first. And then we see the wealthy wise men, the wealthy wise foreigners, more outsiders who weren't even part of Jesus' religion. They were also invited to come and take part in the Epiphany. And then, of course, we see it in the life of Jesus, who starts off his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew 5. He says that, don't think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill them. Jesus says right off the bat, I'm a fulfillment of all these prophets, of Micah and Amos and Isaiah and all of them. I'm the fulfillment of them. And then later on in Matthew 23, he says to the good religious folk, he puts it quite plainly. He says, look, friends, you tithe, you give your 10%, and you should, don't stop doing that. But Here's what you're forgetting. You're forgetting the weightier matters of the law. And what are these matters, Jesus says? Justice, peace, and faith. Now that right there to me sounds like Amos. That sounds like all of our prophets. It sounds like the fulfillment of the prophets. It sounds like, it looks like what it means to reach out to the other, to lift them up and make the world a better, fairer, more just place to live. It sounds like what the Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus erases the dividing lines that we tend to draw. I love that image. Sounds like the prophets. It sounds like the Apostle Paul. It sounds like what the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talks about in his I Have a Dream speech. I know that many of us are familiar with that. This is part of his speech that day. We will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Now, a lot of people attribute that to Dr. King, but he was actually quoting Amos, the prophet. He goes on, I have a dream my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Where the dividing lines will be erased. He goes on, I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places shall be made plain, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That is also not his own words, that is the prophet Isaiah. I mean, what a wonderful dream. Something we all should strive for, something we're all called to strive for. But what's true and what's real is that dream is not yet fully realized. Now, thankfully, since he made that speech, I think it's been a little bit more realized than it was in his day, but I think we can look around and we can say there's still some work to do to realize that dream. I've been convicted lately by another of Dr. King's writings. It's a letter from a Birmingham jail. I'm wondering if you've read that before or heard about that before. A letter from a Birmingham jail. We read this a few months ago. I think I told you I was in a small group this past fall of clergy and laity that studied faith and race. And as one of our assignments, we had to watch a reading of his letter from a Birmingham jail. I want to encourage you to take some time tomorrow on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Maybe take some time to either read this or watch this. I provided links for you on your trail guide to both the written version of this and also a wonderful YouTube video of other people reading these words that Dr. King wrote. But maybe just take, it might take about maybe 30, 45 minutes to read or to watch and listen to this. I want to encourage you to do that tomorrow. But the context of him writing this letter, Dr. King had been arrested for civil disobedience, for peaceful demonstrations in Birmingham, Alabama in 1963, demonstrating against segregation that was happening there. And he wrote this letter in response to white clergymen who had issued their own letter, and it was published in the newspaper. And these white clergymen were saying to Dr. King, look, we agree with what you're trying to do, but slow down. Just slow down. Let justice happen naturally. Just hold off a little bit and slow down. And so Dr. King writes this letter from a jail cell, like the Apostle Paul did before him. You know that some of Paul's letters that we now call scripture were actually written from a jail cell, because Paul was also arrested for civil disobedience, for disturbing the peace of Rome. And so he writes this letter from a prison cell. And when you read it, I was amazed when I read it at all of the biblical, theological, and philosophical references that he makes in this letter. I mean, keep in mind, he was in a jail cell. He didn't have access to his theological books from seminary. And he certainly didn't have access to Google. But all of these references he makes, it astounded me. I just want to share with you just a few snippets of what you're going to read in his letter. He wrote, I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the 8th century prophets left their little villages, just as the Apostle Paul left his little village of Tarsus, I too am compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my particular hometown. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught up in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. He goes on, for years now, I've heard the word wait. This wait has almost always meant never. I guess it is easy for those who have never felt the stinging darts of segregation to say wait. And then he writes a long paragraph of what people of color have endured due to the injustice of racism and prejudice. And then he concludes that paragraph by saying, I hope, sirs, you can understand our legitimate and unavoidable impatience. He goes on, we must come to see that human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and persistent work of people willing to be co-workers with God. Co-workers with God. I love that phrase. And it sounds so much like what Jesus tells us in John's gospel. I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works I do. They will do even greater works than these. Jesus is telling his disciples, they're going to do even greater works than he did. You know, we love to say that we should have faith in Jesus, and we certainly do, but do you hear Jesus having faith in us here? They'll do even greater works than these. Jesus calls his disciples, Jesus calls his church to be co-workers with God, the God who loves justice. Then Dr. King talks about the church of his day. And he compares the church of his day, now remember this is in 1963, he compares the church of his day to the early church, to the first churches that formed after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, the first Christians who started following Jesus. He says that the early church, those first Christians, they were not a thermometer, they were a thermostat. You know the difference between those two things? A thermometer records the temperature, just lets you know the temperature, right? But a thermostat changes the temperature. And he said the early church was a thermostat. It changed the temperature of society. But then he says, 1963, but today, far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's silent and often vocal sanction of things as they are. If the church of today does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church, it will lose its authentic ring. It will forfeit the loyalty of millions and be dismissed as an irrelevant social club with no meaning for the 20th century. I am meeting young people every day whose disappointment with the church has risen to outright disgust. That was in 1963. And I read those words in 2022. And they convicted me. I don't want to be an irrelevant social club with no meaning for the 21st century. I want to be a co-worker with God. You know, we just reaffirmed this just last week. We reaffirmed our baptismal vows. This is one of them. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And if you were here with us, you said, I do. I do. I want to do the work that Jesus has called me to. I want to work with him as he brings good news to the poor, as he binds up the brokenhearted, as he releases the captives, as he erases the dividing lines, as he brings down the mountains and he lifts up the valleys and he makes the crooked places straight. I want to work with Jesus as he does that. But I know me, and I know that sometimes my courage fails. And this is where you come in. This is where I need you. I need the church to help me remember those baptismal vows, to help me remember those words of the prophets, to help me remember those words of Jesus when he says, you, my child, you will do even greater works than me. Bishop Desmond Tutu, you may remember him from his work against apartheid in South Africa. That was South Africa's version of segregation. He said that there comes a point where we need to stop just pulling people out of the river. We need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. That's what justice looks like. Church, we are fantastic. TRUMC, we are fantastic at pulling people out of the river. And by all means, we can't stop that. Let's keep on doing that. But I think that Christ is calling us to wade deeper now into the river, to wade upstream, and to ask the questions, why are some of our sisters and brothers falling in the river? Who's pushing them in? What can we do to help transform whatever it is that's drowning them? How do we transform those drowning waters into the waters of baptism? Into the waters of righteousness that are flowing like justice, like God's justice. So we're giving you two tangible ways to do this in the coming months. One is we are looking to form a small group. You heard me mention the small group I was part of this past fall with clergy and other laity. We're looking to form one of those here for our congregation as well. It's through an organization called Just Faith Ministries. And so we're going to form a small group to talk about faith and racial equity. And it's going to be an 8-week group. It's going to consist of reading a few books and getting together weekly to talk about and discuss those books and those readings, and then to kind of formulate some action steps that people could use. We've got a couple of people who are lined up to help lead this, one or two from our congregation, one from our community, and we're going to be releasing some information in the coming weeks about if you'd be interested in being part of this weekly small group, about how you can do that. So that's one, through Just Faith. And the other is we're going to be involved in, this is a Greenville area, interdenominational ministry. It's called GOAL. It stands for Greenville Organized for Accountable Leadership. They're a ministry coalition of congregations answering the call to do justice by working to solve critical community problems by getting to the root of those problems. So in other words, by going upriver and figuring out what's going on. This year, they were focusing on two things, affordable housing and mental health. Now, our church, we've been focusing on mental health for quite a few years now. And so this really sounded great to Pastor Christine and me, that this is something that maybe a lot of us might be interested in participating in. And so be looking in the next coming weeks about ways that you could participate in either of those tangible ways that we can become co co-workers with God. Jesus says to each and every one of us, I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these. And may it be so. Amen.
Our response through prayer today, our prayer of the people, is a special prayer for Martin Luther King Jr. Day tomorrow. It will be on the screen and it will be responsive, and so your part will be in bold. Let us pray. Never forget that you are where you are today because the masses have helped you get there, and they stand now out in the wilderness. They are waiting for somebody out in the midst of the wilderness of life to stand up and speak and take a stand for them. God grant that the resources that you have will be used to do that. The great resources of education, the resources of wealth, and that we will be able to move into this new world.
A world in which all will live together as family.
A world in which all will no longer take necessities from the masses to give luxuries to the classes. A world in which all will throw down the sword and live by the higher principle of love. The time when we shall be able to emerge from the bleak and desolate midnight of our inhumanity and into the bright and glittering daylight of freedom and justice. That there will be the time we will be able to stand before the universe and say with joy, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. And now let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We respond to God's word in many ways. We respond in prayer. We respond when we leave this place and go out into the world to do justice. And we respond through our giving. We are a blessed people, and we can use those blessings to bless other people. At this time, if our ushers will come for our morning offering.
Star burns in the darkness, shines with a promise, Emmanuel. One child born in the stillness, living within us, Emmanuel. We're singing glory, glory, let there be peace. We're singing glory, glory, let there be peace, let it start in me. One voice speaks for the voiceless, hope for the hopeless, Emmanuel. One love brings us together, now and forever, Emmanuel. We're singing glory, glory, let there be peace, let there be peace. We're singing glory, glory, let there be peace, let it start in me. stands in the way. His love is strong enough to lead us. Do not be afraid. His love is strong enough to save us. Nothing stands in the way. His love is strong enough to lead us. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace, let there be peace. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace, let's start in me. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace, let there be peace. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace, let's start in me. Let there be peace, let's start in me.
Stand for the doxology.
His power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
If you'd like to know more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as part of this congregation, please speak with me or Pastor Christine after the service. We'd love to point you to some more discipleship opportunities here at TRUMC. We're going to go out into the world singing now our song of sending, Come, Let Us Dream God's Dream Again.
Come, let us dream God's dream again.
May it be so. Amen.
but here. See my old friend Abraham. Can you tell me where he's gone? Freed a lot of people, but seems a good die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? Freed a lot of people, but it seems good they die young. I just look around.